Tim in for Bill today and talking Bears and Packers, among other things, as we hit the Schneider Orange Hotline and welcome in a broadcast brother from the Score in Chicago, McNeil and Parkins. He is the Parkins portion of that, Danny Parkins. Nice to hear from you again. Last time we talked, it was June, but thanks for the time.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for having me on, man. How you doing?
More important, how you are in buckling up here after a huge win for the Bears. Signature win, maybe? I think so. I'm leaning that route for the Chicago Bears. How did you guys as analysts, the fans, and the team look at that win against the Rams?
Well, I mean, if that's not a signature win, then such a thing doesn't exist in the NFL, right? I mean, the Rams were coming into that game, a one-loss team on the track for the one seed in the NFC. Like, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Saints, those are probably the only teams. I mean, you maybe throw in the Patriots as another team that you could, okay, that's a signature win. But, yeah, of course that was a signature win, especially for a first-year head coach. It's not like the Bears are 10 years into some sort of dynasty where it's just another good team coming into Soldier Field and maybe they'll win, maybe they'll lose, and you're not going to make any sort of grand proclamation off of it. It doesn't mean that the Bears will win the Super Bowl or anything like that, but it absolutely means that it's possible.
Well, and they're trying to break the mold a little bit in today's NFL with that defense, man. That is turn back the page here in the NFL, as we all love our fantasy running down the field and the whole deal, but then was that advertised by Nagy coming in, that he was that defensive-minded guru?
Well, no. I mean, Matt Nagy is off the Andy Reid tree. The Bears aren't trying to turn back any sort of clock. They're trying to have both. Like, what the Bears did this offseason was everything for their offense, right? And then they were able to trade Khalil Mack. Like, they already had a top 12 defense last year, and they made two changes to the starting lineup. One was a top 10 pick with Roquan Smith at inside linebacker, and then they traded two first-round picks and gave the largest defensive contract in history to Khalil Mack, but they brought back nine starters and retained Vic Fangio otherwise. Like, Matt Nagy only goes into the defensive meeting rooms when he's trying to pluck one of the defensive players to come out and play offense, which he's done a bunch this year. Like, that is Vic Fangio's defense, and Vic Fangio has been here. The Bears are all about offense. I mean, they're a top 10 scoring team in the NFL. Now, some of that's on defensive touchdowns if they lead the NFL in takeaways and great field position, but they hired an offensive coach from Andy Reid's tree to help their number two overall pick quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. They signed Mark Helfrich to be the offensive coordinator from Oregon to bring some of the college concepts in. They signed Taylor Gabriel. They signed Allen Robinson. They signed Trey Burton. Like, they've invested heavily in offense. So the hope is, while Mitch Trubisky is still on his rookie contract and he gets into year two in this system, like Pat Mahomes is in year two in his system, Deshaun Watson is in year two in his system, the guys from the same quarterback class, the hope is that the Bears' defense is still great, and then the offense gets up to that level, and they go on a nice little couple-year run here until Mitch Trubisky hopefully is ready to ascend to some sort of level of stardom and have a good offense and a good defense.
Yeah, so when does then, Danny, when does the offense get that team in trouble?
Well, I mean, it gets it in trouble when Mitch Trubisky has the worst game of his career, like he did against the Rams, and he turned the ball over three times, but the Bears defense took the ball away four against the Rams. But that was his first game coming off of the shoulder injury. He had missed the Lions game and the Giants game. They went 1-1 in those two. It was their best running game of the year. They've definitely been a pass-happy offense. And when Mitch Trubisky has been good in a pass-happy offense, they've been fine. When he's been bad, and he's definitely been inconsistent, they've really struggled, and they've relied more on their defense, time of possession, and takeaways. So the offense, you know, we don't know if that game would have been the same if it was in L.A. or if it was in New Orleans. Maybe we'll find out in the second round of the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, that's the thing. That, you know, from the outside looking in, and as a macro look at the NFL as well as the Bears, the Taylor Gabriels and Allen Robinsons and some of these guys, I just can't see a deep run because of the offense.
Why?
Just because of their names. I mean, Taylor Gabriel, I mean, Allen Robinson. There's no...
Well, I mean, Allen Robinson's an awesome football player who played with Blake Bortles last year for his entire career and Mitch Trubisky. He has a 1,400-yard season where he averaged 17 yards a catch. Like, he is a wildly talented football player. Taylor Gabriel is, you know, number two. They traded up in the second round for Anthony Miller as a number two. Again, like, look at the Bears' scoring offense. They're top 10 in the NFL right now in points per game.
Burton disappears. I think Jordan Howard is misused. I think Cohen is probably, you know, a guy that I think in all regard, I think he's a little underrated, to tell you the truth. And I think he's been a monster down the stretch. But Burton disappeared for a while. Anthony Miller, I like that tool. But again, the inexperience, I could see.
Their defense is better than their offense. No one denies that. And the offense is a work in progress because all of those guys you mentioned are in year one in the system. So the offense will be better next year than it is this year. But, I mean, the Vikings were in the NFC title game last year. The Jaguars were in the AFC title game last year and had a fourth quarter lead on the Patriots. You can make a deep run, and the Vikings had a lead in their NFC title game as well before they lost it in the second half. Two teams built on defenses where their defense was better than their offense. The Eagles last year had a higher-ranked DVOA defense than offense. So, I mean, yeah, the defense is better than the offense, but I don't know that that means that the Bears can't go on a run, and we've just seen it. We saw what Dallas's defense did to New Orleans. Yes, it was in Dallas, but it was on a turf. It was on turf in a dome, which is exactly where New Orleans plays. Now, the sound and home field, that matters. We'll see if it travels. But, I mean, there's six or seven teams in the entire NFL that you could realistically say could win the Super Bowl, and I would have the Bears at, like, fifth or sixth on that list.
And the NFC is a little bit of a crapshoot. I agree there because I don't think anyone's worried about too much over the top about Dallas, and as you said, the Saints were exposed. A lot of Saints fans in Texas for that game as well. Now we get to the Bears and Packers, and how do the Bears or their fans view this game? And to use a phrase somebody told me in June, do the Packers look at the Bears still as the little brother down there in Chicago, or is it has the landscape changed a little bit here?
Well, I mean, I don't think that the Bears have ever looked at the Packers as the little brother. I said that about the Cubs and the Brewers.
That was it, yeah.
The Brewers are the little brother because they can't spend the type of money that the Cubs can spend. But the Packers have had Hall of Fame quarterback play for the last 25 years and are 15-2 in the last 17 games against the Bears, including an NFC title game appearance going back to 2011. So clearly that same little brother, big brother dynamic in an NFL where there is a salary cap and a salary floor is different than baseball. But that notwithstanding, Bears fans are very excited for the game because they were 6.5-point underdogs in the opener at Lambeau, and they're now 6.5-point favorites in the home game at Soldier Field, and home field's only supposed to be worth 3 points. So clearly the Packers have underperformed expectations, firing a coach, lots of dysfunction up there. We all know that story. And the Bears have exceeded expectations. One team's going to the playoffs and the other isn't. So, yeah, it's very exciting to have a shot to win the division against the Packers at home, but that doesn't mean that any sort of huge narrative is being rewrote. Like, I'm actually a little bit more bullish on the Packers' chances now that they've fired one of the worst coaches in the NFL in Mike McCarthy. Like, I think you guys are going to bounce back nicely next year. But for this year, clearly, every team in the NFC North has underperformed except for the Bears.
Yeah, I heard you talking about McCarthy days ago, but, I mean, can you just expand on that just a little bit more, Danny, on you know, the guy's got a Super Bowl title, but should it have been more, et cetera, et cetera. But you've been pretty critical about McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl title, too. No one says he's a great quarterback. So, like, I think if you do your analysis based on, oh, he has a ring, it's just pretty lazy. Whether you want to talk about the lack of creativity and innovation with the offense, the number of players who have spoke out, like Greg Jennings or Jeff Saturday, they're talking about changing play calls. Basically, the moral of the story is, if you have the most talented quarterback in the history of football, which is what Aaron Rodgers is, and that's not hyperbole, that's fact. He has the highest passer rating career in the history of football. He's in front of Brady, he's in front of Breeze, he's in front of Manning. He's number one. you should go to more than one Super Bowl with that guy. We can talk about the specifics of being conservative and settling for short field goals in the NFC title game against Seattle and how there wasn't an onside kick and that's not on McCarthy. And we can go through any of the specifics if you want. We can talk about burning timeouts. We can talk about scapegoating defensive coordinators. The moral of the story is Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Mike McCarthy is coach. And this idea that Aaron Rodgers is somehow to blame entirely or even have the majority of the blame. I'm not saying he bears no responsibility for his play, and it's clearly eroded, but he's 2 years younger than Roethlisberger, 5 years younger than Brees, 7 years younger than Brady. I happen to think Aaron Rodgers has a lot of great football left, and when you look around the NFL and you see the domination of these young quarterbacks when they get into good, innovative offensive systems that use RPOs, that bring guys in motion, that use multiple formations, that'll match up and say, okay, this nickel corner is our weakness, so we're going to target him 10 consecutive plays, you know, in the passing game in a row, and we're going to game plan specific things to put our quarterback in the best possible position to succeed. That hasn't been what has happened with Mike McCarthy under Aaron Rodgers recently. I think you guys go out, you get a young, innovative, offensive-minded head coach, you implement a new system, you use those first-round picks, your young defensive players come up. I think the Packers are going to be fighting with the Bears for NFC North supremacy next year, and I will pick Aaron Rodgers once again to win MVP, just like I did this year, because he's the best player in the sport.
Okay, real quick before I let you go, it was all a blur handling Brewers Post for now 13 years. It was all a blur, and I didn't relish in the glory of it too much, because it happened so quick. The Brewers run, and they were into St. Louis and putting together, and we're watching scoreboard, watching the Cubs lose, and then it's game 163, and it was a crazy thing at Wrigley. And you know, the next day, the Cubs get bounced, and the Brewers sweep the Rockies, et cetera, et cetera. So just your clarification on Little Brother that you told me in June, that was regarding, just so I understand this, that was regarding the economics of the game, not necessarily the talent?
I mean, I think it's both, right? I think that right now it's pretty clear the Brewers exceeded expectations last year, and the Cubs probably played to their preseason expectations. Like, if you want to use like the Vegas over-unders or Pecota projections or like whatever you want to do, right? The Cubs won 95 games and had a bunch of players underperform. The Brewers bested them and had players exceed expectations. They were amazing. It was an incredible season for the Brewers. No one's taking anything away. In June, July, August, I expected the Cubs' talent to win out and their dominance in head-to-head to win out. And the Cubs' offense completely broke in August and September. And Christian Yelich was amazing. And Lorenzo Cain was amazing. And Craig Counsell was amazing. And you guys won the division and earned it. And it was an incredible accomplishment. And then you look this year, who's got the higher over-under for win total? The Cubs. Who's got the bigger odds? The Cubs. Who's got the bigger war chest? $220 million payroll? The Cubs. Like, baseball's just not an equitable game. And more often than not, talent wins out. And I think the Cubs have more talent than the Brewers. But it doesn't mean that the Brewers can't win the division again this year. And what they accomplished last year wasn't incredible. It's just, when we talked in June, I didn't think it was going to happen. It did. I was wrong. I'm wrong all the time. Just ask my bookie.
No doubt. All right, Danny, always a pleasure, man. Take it easy.
Thanks for having me on, Tim.
You got it. Danny Parkins, score in Chicago, and I had to get that in there about the Brewers. Cubs, he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider, hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.